In the book of Genesis, in creation, God got his hands dirty in making us. Let me just read a couple of scriptures to you. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So if you might need to take notes if you want to. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So what I referred to before. But then in chapter 2, it goes into a bit more detail about how God made us. And in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." It says the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. And this word formed is like to do the actions of an artist or a sculptor or a potter. It's a word that specifically refers to work done on some existing substance. And it's quite interesting, like in funerals, you say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. That's referring back to this, that we are made from the dust of the ground. And God took the dirt. Everything else, he spoke and it came into being. But for man, it particularly refers to, took the dirt and he formed us. And something I want to share right from the very start of this, because I thought about Jesus getting his hands dirty, and I thought, asked the question of myself, did Jesus enjoy his life here on earth? You know, he said he came to, you know, into a world of sin, to seek sinners and to save sinners. Did he enjoy his time? And yes, he absolutely did. He said, "I've come that you might have life and life in all its fullness." He was anointed with joy above everybody else. And when God took personal interest in forming Adam, and he took personal interest in forming you, and he enjoyed getting involved with the world that he created, and he enjoyed getting involved with the people that he had created, and he longs and loves to interact with you. He made you, and he got his hands dirty making you. That's a great place to start, isn't it? That God loves me, and he wants to be involved in my life. But that is part of what this is. It's incredible. And then he's involved in actually shaping us and forming us into those people that he wants us to be. This is incredible, like a potter. You know that when the potter, like, you know, people are making pots and they've got all the clay and stuff, and they get their hands dirty, don't they? Potters love interacting with the clay. They love forming it. Getting their hands dirty is part of it, but they love the feel of it, and they love what they're creating. Well, that's what God's doing in our lives. It's incredible, isn't it? It's amazing. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Isn't that great? Wonderful. God is, he loves doing stuff in our lives, and he's not a distant God who's not interested. He's actively engaged with our lives, getting his hands dirty. Romans 9, in the New Testament, verse 18, "Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he harden whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, 'Then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will?'" This is the pattern of the potter, you know, the clay. You know, but you, who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why do you make me like this?'" And this is a real big thing, because we live in a world and society which says, I am king. I am God. I can choose to be whoever I want to be. What I think and what I say is the most important thing. Yet the Bible message is very clearly that we, God is the potter, we are the clay. Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? It's incredible, isn't it? And does it put us in our place? In one sense, but that's where worship comes in, because we acknowledge that he's Lord. And then we come into that fulfillment as we allow him to be the potter and us to be the clay. He forms us and he shapes us into the very... I mean, who do you want? Do you want me to make a pot? Or do you want God to make a pot? The best potter out. Who do you want? I want God to form my life and turn it into something special. Well, this is good, isn't it? This hasn't gotten to Jesus yet. and I'm looking at the time. And there's a picture as well of getting your hands, as a gardener, getting your hands dirty. Anybody do any gardening? Who wears gloves? Anybody ever get a bit of... Well, we got the trees. You occasionally come in with dirty hands, don't you, Peter? Do they ever stop being dirty?
There's always a bit of dirt.
There's always, yeah. That's quite good. When you're constantly involved in doing a job as a... So Peter's a tree surgeon or an arborist. The dirt doesn't leave you. You know, that's why I've got really clean hands. Because I'm on my knees all the time praying, you see. Jesus talked about God being the Father, being the gardener, and pruning. And there's a work that God does in our lives, pruning us to make us more fruitful. And does the gardener enjoy pruning the roses and shaping the bush? Yeah, he does. And that's a wonderful thing, because he knows. One is that he enjoys the process, actually. Sometimes I think some of the hard pruning might not be so enjoyable, but he knows it's important and good. But a lot of the pruning is just some of it's shaping, some of it's just getting it ready for more fruitfulness. And there are seasons in our lives. There's often God is pruning us. And that feels painful at the time, but it's so that we can become more fruitful. There's, from season to season, there are seasons where there is a heavy pruning. And where your life feels like it is totally destroyed, in a sense. But there are seasons in our lives, but it gets you ready for a new season of fruitfulness. And I'm sure many of you will testify to that truth in our lives as people, as Christians. In John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, that's Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. He's hands-on in this situation. John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Do you want to have a fruitful life? Not just for this life, but for eternity? Do you want your life to have as much meaning and purpose as it possibly could be then? It has to be let the God be our potter, the Father be the one who prunes us, our gardener in our lives. And as we do that, we bear fruit. This is absolutely nailed on, rock solid truth that is in the Bible, and it's all about God. It's totally actually based on, if Jesus, you know, we worship Jesus. If Jesus was not resurrected from the dead, this is a load of rubbish. It's all based around that. It's based in fact, and it's based in the Bible. But Jesus truly did rise from the dead, and he changed my life. And like so many of you, he changed your life. Let's talk about Jesus getting his hands dirty. And he got his hands dirty with a blind man. And I'll read the passage in John 9, verse 1. And as he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," he's saying, this isn't the issue, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And he's talking about revelation here, God opening our eyes to God, to the reality of who God is. And, you know, the song says, "I was blind, but now I see." It's Amazing Grace. Is that an amazing grace? I once was blind, now I see. And that's what happened to me when I became a Christian. I said, "Jesus, will you be in charge of my life? I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I put my trust in you." And it was like a light got switched on in my life. And suddenly I realized, yes, God is creator of it all. And then my life started to change and to grow. And this was 37 years ago that I became a Christian. After saying this, Jesus spat on saliva and he got his hands dirty. Nice. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So an instance where Jesus got his hands dirty and the result was the man could see. But he's involved to understand that he's got a plan and a purpose for our lives and to understand his values and the way to live our lives. And that is so good because he's chosen to do that for me. I'm just astounded. I wasn't even looking for God, and he came, and he opened my eyes. He gave me that opportunity, and that's why when we break bread, I say, "Thank you. I thank you so much for what you've done for me." And my life is so, so much better because he chose to get his hands dirty and open things up in my life. I'm just amazed. And then another time that Jesus got his hands dirty was... let me read it in Matthew 8. "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" So not only the sickness was, you know, ravaging his body, but also it meant that he was ceremonially unclean. People would not mix with him. He was an outcast. He was all cut off from God, and he was cut off from the community. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And at that point, he became ceremonially unclean according to Jewish law. Go ahead, Sand. And he did it to save the outcast. And also so that that person could be brought back into fellowship with the community, fellowship with God. It's what Jesus does with us, take our sin away. He reaches down and touches us. It says he became sin on the cross for us so that we can be healed and so that we can be brought into relationship with God. That's what Jesus did. He got his hands dirty. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus became unclean in order to reach out to the unlovely and rejected. You just think how involved Jesus was with every single category of person there is. In order, because Jesus' purpose was to come to seek and to save the lost. And without Jesus, we are lost. We are lost in our sin. We are separated from God. And yet Jesus got his hands dirty so that we could be set free. And just taking that a bit further, if you're thinking about our sins being forgiven, you think about how dirty Jesus' hands got when he went through the process of being beaten and flogged and crucified. He didn't have nice clean hands. He even had dirty nails through his hands. And I'm not trying to be over dramatic, but this is the truth of the matter. Died for us. He was beaten to the ground and his hands were on the ground as he was beaten. He had to carry the cross again over his shoulder until he sort of couldn't carry it anymore. And his hands were absolutely filthy. But that was the extent to which Jesus went because of your sin and my sin. God isn't some abstract million miles away person. He's someone who gets his hands dirty and he loves to get in. And even what Jesus went through. And it's really, really interesting, isn't it? I was thinking about an illustration of changing a nappy. It took me a few weeks to actually get around to changing a, be able to face up to changing a nappy when with our first child. And Kay does a good impression about it. She will give an exaggerated version, I'm sure. And but the thing is, do you know what about getting dirty or changing a dirty nappy? It's an opportunity where you I know it doesn't feel like it at times, but there are moments where you clean the baby up and the baby's lying down on the mat or whatever, and you're looking into the baby's face and the baby's smiling, they're happy because they've been cleaned up, and you're looking there and you've got this little baby. You're not focusing on the rear end at that time. You're actually focusing, looking at the face and loving being with the child. Isn't that right? There are moments. It's not always like that as a parent, I have to say. But that's what God's like with us. It's that time he cleans us up, and there's the beautiful relationship, and they're so proud of the baby, and the baby so enjoying the attention of it. That is what God does. He loves getting involved in our lives and even in our mess. If you feel like your life is a mess, like my life is a pooey nappy, but God loves to get involved and to clean you up. Because this is the nature of God. And it says Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He wasn't focusing, you know, his total focus was not on the dirt and the sin and the deprivation. His focus was on the joy, the salvation, and the grace and the joy set before him. And that relationship, and that it's incredible, isn't it? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God wants to be involved with our lives? And he gets his hands dirty, and he got his hands dirty for you and for me so that we could be in that relationship. Isn't this brilliant? Do you know, this honestly is nailed on biblical truth and stuff that we experience when we know him as our Lord and Savior. If you've never given up, start to learn to experience this, because he loves you and he's committed to you and he wants to be involved in your life. And all you have to do is say, please, will you be involved in my life? Please, will you clean me up? And you will be amazed. It says God has got good, pleasing and perfect plans for you and for me. But it does involve him being our potter, our gardener, the one who gives us revelation, the one who cleans us up. He's amazing. Jesus even got his hands dirty in order just to have breakfast with his disciples. I think he gut the fish? He prepared the fish when they came in there, and he got his hands dirty to make them breakfast, just to spend time with them and just to give them a bit more. He got involved. He didn't say to the chef, oh, could you prepare breakfast for my disciples? He did it. Nice, isn't it? So from this, don't doubt that he is totally committed to you. He got his hands dirty. He's willing to get involved in your life and my life, even though we totally do not deserve it. But he loves to spend time with us and to get involved with our lives. The second thing I'd say is, if you've never put your trust in him, put your trust in him. Say, I want him to be in charge of my life. And then the last bit is, and this one thing I noticed when we were missionaries in Cambodia, And one of the things I noticed about Buddhism was that the Buddhism that they had over there meant that they didn't get involved. It was sort of Buddhism involved with them sort of trying to sort of just create a peace with God, but meant they didn't get involved with nasty situations in case that they got that impacted their spiritual walk. But God has called us to get our hands dirty as well, not to stand back, but to be fully engaged with Him, but also the world around us, just like God's been that. Jesus, you know, we're called to be disciples, and disciples are followers and do things like Jesus did. Let me just read one last thing where Jesus got his hands dirty. And this is in John chapter 13, when in the dusty environment. And when they came to a servant who would wash their feet for them to have clean feet going into the house. In John 13, Jesus did it. In John 13, verse 1, it says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the towel around his waist, and after he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." And he would have got dirty hands doing that, washing their feet. "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' And Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.'" He said, "You're the master. You shouldn't be washing my feet." But we actually need to humble ourselves and let Jesus wash our lives up. This is a big, big thing. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." He said, "Well, if I could just..." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean." When you become a Christian, Jesus forgives all your sin. And then as you sort of go through life, you pick up bits and pieces on your feet, as it were. And we need to keep bringing that to Him, letting Him cleanse our feet. But primarily, we're clean and right before God. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Humbling ourselves before one another to help our brothers and sisters, but also in the world around us. I think this is talking about Christians. I think we're to get involved in all sorts of... Are there any sort of society where people need help, need healing, need get their lives sorted out? It will involve getting our hands dirty, getting involved, and the joy, actually, of the Christian life, again, is getting involved. The lost and the hurting. He loved that. He was living life to the fullness. That is where we do as well, where we do the same. He says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed you, also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." This is good. "Now that you know these things," do you know what it says? "You'll be blessed if you do them." It's a dangerous thing coming to church, because you learn stuff potentially, or you get reminded of stuff. And then it says, "You'll be blessed if you do them." So it's our responsibility to take it, isn't it? And allow God, this word, to sit within us and for us to live it out. So Father, I pray you'll take this word, that you'll make this the reality of our lives. We thank you that you love us so much that you're willing to be involved, hands-on, in us, Lord. And so I pray that each person will go out here knowing that they are If there are things that we know that we need to resolve, Lord, that you would help us to put it into practice. And for those that have been drawn to you, I pray, Lord, that you'll just, in a sense, intensify that desire to know you, Lord, so that they put their trust in you. But I just say thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.